We're on? Okay. Okay, so take two. Good morning. Okay, so as I just said a second ago, today we're going, it's our last class for the series, and today we're going to be doing Kosev and Mochek. We haven't started yet. Good morning.
I don't want to
get it. So, no, that part, I was told it gets edited. Don't worry. So there you go. Right? Okay, perfect. So let's start with Kosev and Mochek of today. So we're starting with Kosev, which is writing. We're good, we're on. Right? Okay, good. Okay, so just from last week, I guess we'll continue on with this. We'll do more English versus the Hebrew and bring everything into practical application. So we're going to start with the first three sources. We'll go through them and we'll read them. And then I'm going to actually bring it down to just the practicality, because the first three sources just explain to us where Kosev is from. Okay? Obviously, we know it's one of the 39 melachos, because that's what we've been, you know, been discussing for the past 2 weeks, but just to understand the background of it. So source number one, there are 40 melachos less one who writes two letters. So that's the basis of Kosev. Okay? Number two, they would make a mark, or write, on the boards of the Mishkan to know which one paired with another. They would write a letter on this one and a letter on that one and would sometimes have to erase if they made a mistake. Okay, so obviously we have writing and then we have writing with erasing and then, but the erasing is with the intent of writing again. Okay, just a little background over there. And number three, one should be careful not to write with one's finger using liquids on the table or with dirt. However, one may make a letter-like movements in the air. Okay, now let's bring this down to actual weekly practicality. Okay, so the malacha of writing pertains to writing letters or numbers in any language, actually making pictures or symbolic figures. That all is included in writing. Okay? So like a meaningful sketch would also be included in writing. It's not just actually writing letters or numbers. Okay? But anything meaningful is considered writing. Okay? Now we have the various methods of writing. Okay? Some of them obviously are like the basic because you're either using a pen or a pencil right now. So the forbidden methods of writing on Shabbos are using a writing instrument, such as a pen, a pencil, a typewriter, or computer, okay, just to bring it into today's day and age. Those are all not allowed on Shabbos, but I think that that's obviously a given, you know, from the crowd sitting here. Okay. Writing without ink is also forbidden. Okay, so an example with that, I'm going to give an example of something that's usser, an example of something that's mutter. If you're carving fruit into something meaningful, that would not be allowed. But if you're just cutting fruit, just to make it, just so it's practical on Shabbos, if you're just slicing up, you know, melon into squares or even circles, that's fine because it's regular pieces, it's not a meaningful shape.
But if you're making like a basket, that you're not allowed.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Okay? So, like, the basic slicing is not the problem. Or even if you have, okay,
the scooper,
right? What's it called? Like, if you want to ball the melon? Thank you. That's fine also, because that's not something that's meaningful. It's obviously pretty, but that's not something that's meaningful.
If you have a pineapple and you have the thing left, and I've seen people do it where they put the thing on the
in the middle of the platter.
It's just leftover from the
correct. Animal. That wouldn't be problematic because you're not carving the leaves.
You're just slicing off the top. You're going to put that on in the middle as part of decoration and you cut. I know.
But you actually don't even really cut that piece off. You like twist it off. No, that wouldn't be a problem. Oh. That's, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I used to do that, but I stopped because everybody gets poked. Okay. Then writing by erasing. If you have something written out, but then you would erase part of the, if you erase a few of the letters to form something different, that also is considered writing. So that also would not be allowed. I know a lot of these are just the basics, and we understand we're not taking a pencil and we're not writing, and we're not taking the eraser of the pencil and we're not erasing, but it's just interesting to know the different nuances, okay?
So with that, is that what refers to, like, if you have a birthday cake and somebody's name, that's
We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that, okay? Then writing without leaving an impression, which would be drawing in the air, which is something we spoke about, that is allowed. So if, I mean, kids do it a lot, actually, you know, if they're playing a game and it's like, oh, mommy, what am I writing, you know, and it's like, I don't know. That is allowed, okay? If you're playing a game, kids also like to do this on your back, and you know, it's like, what am I spelling? It's also a game of chills, but that also is allowed, even if they are spelling letters, you know, on I guess you would do it on a person's back, right? That also is allowed, even if they are spelling out a word, because there's no lasting impression. It's really, it's as if you're writing in the air. There's, it's not real, quote-unquote, writing. Today's a really good day for this, actually, for the next one. Foggy windows or glass, that you would not be allowed to write letters on, okay?
So if somebody has, like, a seltzer bottle on the table and they're just kind of, like, playing piano.
Correct, correct. Or a glass pitcher of water where it's really cold, the water. Mm-hmm. Correct, you should not be...
Even if they're not writing letters, like, what if they're just, like, touching it?
Well, touching it is something different. You're not doing anything meaningful. But remember, right, it would be the same writing letters or making a meaningful picture. But if you're just touching it, I mean...
Like rubbing it.
Just to...
So, right, so I'm saying, like, to wipe it off.
Yeah,
so it probably would not be recommended, but if it's done by, it depends if you're really doing that on purpose. You don't think about what you're doing. If you're doing it on purpose, then yeah, then that would be considered writing. But if it's just like, I don't know, by accident, like, you know, sometimes you're subconscious, you just do it, then that wouldn't be a problem. Right? Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the last one is making a mark on something. In Hebrew, a roshem, making a marking on something. Okay? So I'll give you two examples. Obviously, if you take a pen and you make a dot, like you're reading a book and you make a dot to leave, to remind you of where your place is, then that would not be allowed. Another example, you could do it in two different ways, and source number four is actually the source for it. One can make a mark with one's nail on a book, the way that people mark for a sign, for this is not something that endures. So if you want to, I guess a good example is that you're reading something and you want to know where you left off and you're not going to fold the page for whatever reason, but you want to know that exact sentence. If you use your fingernail, which won't leave a lasting impression, then that would be fine. Obviously, you can't take a pen and make a dot, because that would be considered writing, okay? But if you did something that left a permanent mark, let's say you used something sharper than your fingernail, like a knife or something that left something permanent, then that would not be allowed. But if it did not leave a permanent impression, then it would be allowed.
And of course, you can't fold down the page.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. Can you?
I think you can. Why would you not be able to fold down the page?
People say that you can't, I've heard.
Why? Because it leaves an impression.
Because it leaves an impression, you're saying? I don't know. I'd have to...
Because that's one that I've heard, too.
You cannot
if you're creating something.
I see, right. I guess the truth is that does fit into a permanent impression.
Right.
So then I would say just use a napkin. That's what I do. You could use a paper clip, yeah. I find napkins in my house are a lot easier. You find them a lot faster than paper clips.
That's true.
The truth is, folding down the page, I guess that would fit into something permanent, because it does leave a real crease if it's going to be folded for a while. So, use a napkin or a bookmark. So I don't know if that's fashionable nowadays, bookmarks, but my kids like them. What?
Or use a cookie.
There are cookie in a book.
Right.
Interesting.
You know you're going to be eating it anyway.
Right.
Special Shabbos cookies.
As a bookmark.
I see.
There you go. We always have interesting ideas here. Okay, but now practical applications. So going along with books, okay? Not a lot of books. Sometimes books, especially like library books, that they have the stamps on the pages. You know what I'm talking about? Like on the side of a book, like the pages. Okay, so biggest question is, can you open and close those kind of books on Shabbos because you are erasing and writing every time you're closing those books? Practical halacha, you can. You can. And actually, it's a little bit out of order. I apologize for the source sheet today. But source number 9 explains to us the reason why you can do that. It's obviously writing and erasing. We haven't started mochik erasing yet, but writing and erasing work hands in hand. The reason why you can is because books are meant to be opened and closed. So that's what source number 9 says. Yeah. If you have... Right. So you can open and close the books, even if there is writing on the side of the book. If somebody wanted to be machmir about that, then the easy solution is just put something in the middle of the book before Shabbos. Like if you do put a napkin or anything, it doesn't have to be anything thick, but if you just put it in the middle of the book somewhere so that it makes a differentiation, one of my kids is very into doing this. So if it just makes a differentiation, it's not writing or erasing. But practical halacha, it is mutter to open books like that on Shabbos, okay? And source number 9 tells us that, just as a side note, okay? Now let's just go, we're just going to go through 2 or 3 more practical halacha. Torn pages, okay, would be if you just have like 2 papers and they're torn and there's words on both sides, especially like kids' books, if they rip pages, it's not a problem to put the pages back together because generally you know what the word is. You see what I'm saying? Most of the time you could at least fill in the blank as to what the, if it's H-A, you're going to know that it's like have or had, and depending on the context, you can figure that out. So that's something that you can put. No, you can't scotch tape it back, but my point is you could put the paper next to each other. I'm using a kid example just because I think it's more obvious. You can put the papers next to each other if they want to finish reading that sentence because it's obvious. If it were not obvious, then that would be more problematic. But we base it on the generality that most of the time you can figure out the rest of the word when the pages are torn like that. Correct, you can put it, yeah. Unfortunately, we have a few of those siddurim in shul. But yes, you can put it back together, okay?
What about missing pages and you find the page in on Shabbos?
And you want to put them back in? But you're not putting back words, you're just putting the papers back in.
Okay.
So that's not, so you're that's not writing, you're just putting it, right?
But it's completing it.
You're just putting it because
you're not
sealing it.
Right, you're just sliding them back in where they belong. It's not, you're not binding it back together.
It's the same as putting those two together.
Right.
So that it can read.
So that it like flows, you know? Yeah, I'm saying it's not like you're then going to bind it or tape it or staple it or anything like that.
Because also it's like sitters, like the hot pages that like just fall.
Yeah,
I personally think
that it would then fall into the fact of if it's obvious, then that's not problematic.
Okay.
Okay. Puzzles and games. This one gets a little trickier. Okay, much trickier. Jigsaw puzzles, you should not do on Shabbos because you are then going to be... I'm not talking about like the baby puzzles where like it's like one piece that's going into like a wooden frame. I'm talking about real... I'm sorry?
Are we at a specific number?
No, I'm doing the practical halacha outside for right now. Okay? No, it's okay. But actually putting together a real puzzle that then is going to take on... whether you call it meaningful or not, I'm going to use the word meaningful because you are going to have a finished product, okay? That's something that you would not do on Shabbos, okay? While games, okay, and this is, I actually spoke to my husband about this last night because I'm sure there's a controversy on whether you can play Scrabble or not on Shabbos, okay? You can play Scrabble on Shabbos. You can play Scrabble on Shabbos. Look at Jackie's face. Because, and the reason behind it is because the pieces are, they are formed pieces. Like the letter, you're not writing. The letters are on the pieces. You're just putting the pieces together. But they are independent of each other. It's not like a puzzle that you are locking into each other. Okay? The reason why some don't play Scrabble on Shabbos is because it may lead to writing. To keep score. But if you are not competitive like that, and there's no doubt that you are not going to be like, oh, I really want to write this down, right? Then the actual game itself is not problematic. So the reason why some think it's problematic or some hold that they won't place Rabbah on Shabbos is from the writing components of it.
Okay, now I have a question. Because when we play Scrabble on Shabbos and we keep school, everybody has a book.
Right, so you're not...
100 pages. And then if your score is 50, you put a bookmark on page
Right, 50. So I was going to say, you're not making a permanent Good. Impression in the book. You're going to put something into the book to remind you of it. So, yeah. And that's, I mean, and obviously you're not tallying it up. You're tallying it up in your head afterwards. So you're doing nothing permanent.
How about the Scrabble that has encasing places to put the letters in? So it's not as easy as it's on the table. It, and on the table it can slide off any minute. But if it's encased, it's a traveling Scrabble.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's
okay.
So more like a puzzle.
I was going to say. So yeah, so then that probably would much be more problematic.
Right.
I would then just say do it on the table and mm-hmm.
don't.
Once
don't use the casings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, considering that when we're talking about the game itself, we're talking about the basic.
Right.
The basic. We're not putting anything together. You're just laying it out. And mm-hmm. somebody could sneeze and it could mess up the whole thing. You know, there's no permanence to it.
Who want to build rocket ships on Shabbos with Legos?
To build a rocket ship. In particular, a rocket ship or anything? Right. Right. So, I mean, I don't think Lego, I never heard of Lego being a problem. It's not considered, you're not building something like, the difference between puzzle and a Lego is that your puzzle, you have that defined goal. Like, you're doing that meaningful picture. You're following it. You hear what I'm saying?
Each piece completes, like, part of the flower.
Exactly, exactly. So I think, I mean, I'd have to ask, but I never heard of Lego being a, I've never heard of Lego being a problem.
I'm just, I sort of get it with the puzzle.
Right. It is different. No, I know what you're saying, but it really is different. Puzzle and Lego are very different. They are two different items.
Yeah, I hear.
And it's also, remember, puzzles really lock into each other a lot more. Like, you really could, I mean...
A Lego you can drop
yeah.
to the ground and the
and
whole
that's
thing
it.
Could...
Right.
Well, a puzzle you
yeah,
could also...
A puzzle can
yeah,
also, but
not
but
all pieces,
it,
though.
Right.
I understand.
There is that difference.
So all these kids connecting toys, you know, the zooms, whatever, the clicks, all these little things...
I don't think that's... Like, I don't think it's problematic. Right. I'm saying, really, one push, and they're not connected anymore. So,
I have a quick question. Like, could you take bananagrams letters
I was just gonna ask.
And write a message, or scrabble letters, or like the big magnets on your refrigerator?
So, okay, so
say like you know whatever your husband's at school, you obviously can't text him, but something comes up and you gotta go. You know, be back at four.
So that really depends on how permanent what you're doing is.
Like magnet letters on my fridge.
I personally would not recommend that. I mean, granted, all you need is like. One kid or dog to walk past it, and then it's not permanent at all. But you're doing something meaningful and writing it.
Yeah.
So no, I would highly recommend not. That would to me that would be the same concept of, you know, if you have something on your counter and you write, like, what's a good example of some I don't know something spilled on your counter or flour on your counter. Mm-hmm. You can't write something with that then. Flour is a good example, mm-hmm. right? So it would be it would really be the same thing. So, I would say no. I'm not opposed to it, but I would say no. Right? Because I'm saying you're doing something meaningful.
Right.
You're doing something meaningful. That goes along the same lines within the game, a magnetoodle or an etch-and-sketch, so that you can't play with on Shabbos, because being that it's magnets, it is more permanent. Like, with that kind of toy, it's more permanent. You know what I'm talking about? And you're actually writing something or drawing something so that you would not, like the kids should not play with on Shabbos. While you can put a magnet on your refrigerator because that's something that's different, obviously, but I wouldn't arrange the letters on your refrigerator.
Why is that different?
Because, why is which one different?
Writing
because magnets, it's something that's just different. It's more permanent. While the pieces of Scrabble, they're not.
You're not going to keep it.
You're not going to keep it. Number one, but it. Well, how do you describe the difference between like the piece versus the magnet? The magnet has more permanence to it because it sticks.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. Because it's sticking, it's going to be different than just the actual block that just can move around the table.
You can put a magnet on the refrigerator?
If it falls on the floor, even if it's a letter.
But you can't put a magnet. You can't, like, pre-make magnets and say, go to shul, put it on the refrigerator for your husband to see.
Oh, that's so cute.
Say that again?
Yeah. Oh, because there's no
good idea.
Like a mess, but you're not writing it. It's already made.
But it's already, you know, here's my little list of my little package of, and I want your husband to, you know, my husband to do something. Like, sweep the floor, just put the magnet on the board.
Right, so then that, right, no, but then that.
It's already pre-made.
A message? Like,
it was a bunch of pictures, and you could put it on your fridge. Like, to remind yourself to serve something on Shabbos, and you could put it on the fridge to remember to do something.
But you're not putting it together. It's already done.
But magnets, I heard, are a muksa because it has no purpose.
Right, so I'm saying, no, but what we were talking about, what Jen had mentioned, was if you're writing a message with the magnets.
But you're not allowed to touch them because it has no purpose.
No, but if something falls on the floor, I'm just saying, if a magnet were to fall on the floor and you just put it on the fridge instead of, like, everybody stepping on it and hurting their foot, right?
Okay.
So you're not, even if it's a letter magnet, you're not writing anything with it. I never heard of these magnets where, like, it's a message to yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd be curious about that. I don't know. I never heard of them.
Okay.
I'm going to look into that. That's interesting.
What, with words on
I don't know.
So what
like it's
say?
A message to say? You to remind you to do something.
Right. It had, I think it had pictures and it had words. I have it in my kitchen. It's fallen apart. I have it in my kitchen.
I don't have an answer.
I
don't know.
There was this whole poetry.com thing that was out there and it was all like every word in English language you could buy, create poetry with magnets and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But it was like words, all kinds
right.
of words in English language. And you have all your nouns, your verbs, your articles, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
Like, yeah. So
it seems like it would lead to writing.
Right.
Like, the person has the mindset of, I'm going to give
away. I agree. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. No, my
that's what I'm saying.
Like,
I never heard of this. And you want to, right.
I said. Like, I,
right.
No, 100%. I would say that you can't do that because you're writing something.
It's already written.
Right.
Yeah, but you're putting it together to make it meaningful.
Honey, I went to the neighbors. I mean, it's something like that.
Right.
And he would know that she's not home. She
right. I don't know. I have to get back to you.
And
I don't
have a pre-made sign that says, shh, Tali, sleep it, with a piece of tape on it.
Right.
And I leave at my front door. And, like, when she's sleeping on Shabbos, or even on other days of the week, because I don't want any kids coming and I don't want people coming for tzedakah, I tape it on the door.
Right.
You know, so I just have, like, a big thing. But that's all done beforehand. And I tape it
right.
to my glass, you know, the glass.
And it's done, right.
I like
right.
this idea.
Yeah. I have to get back to you, because I don't know. Pre-made messages, right?
Feed them, put them to bed, and bait them after Shabbos. Sorry,
nobody
came up.
See ya. right.
Very important.
And then along the same lines with Scrabble, which we said obviously without writing Scrabble is okay, dominoes are also okay. Okay, just as another good example of like, tiled games that you're just putting together, or Rummy Cube, okay? That also, you know, it's separate.
Banana games you can
like
play
that.
Also, though.
Yeah, it's
right,
the
okay.
same, it would be the same concept as dominoes, and we're not putting it into a holder that's
yeah,
making anything
right.
permanent, you're just putting it down on a flat table.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now, okay, so that is the basis of Kosev, okay? Mm-hmm. Now we're going to just move into and we're getting to your cake question. Okay, we are getting to your cake question. But what I'd like to do is we'll start mochik, and then we will bring it all together in particular for like cake and cutting cake, in particular when there's something written on the cake or if there's a meaningful quote-unquote picture on the cake. Okay, so if you don't mind, just go to source number 7, and that just gives us the source for mochik. There are 40 melachos less one who erases for the purpose of writing 2 letters. So, okay, fine. That's erasing. That's mochik. Okay, our source for it. Number 5. So we're going to read 5 and 6, and then we're going to bring it down to practicality. So now we know how to slice our fruit on Shabbos, and we're going to also know how to eat a birthday cake on Shabbos, okay? Note, it is prohibited to break a cake on which there is letter writing, even though your intent is to eat it. for it is erasing. Okay? Now let's do number 6. However, this is only when the writing on the cake is from something else. However, if the writing is part of the cake itself, it is permitted, for it is not classified as writing and therefore not subject to erasing. Similarly, if you wrote the letters with honey mixed with water or other fruit juices, one need not be stringent. Okay, so now let's just talk in basics here. You want to say something?
I have a question.
Oh, so let's first do it, and then let me see if I answer your question, and then otherwise you'll ask it. So cake with frosting that has letters, or if it has a meaningful picture, a distinct picture, it is forbidden, it's usser, to cut the cake in a way that it would deform the letters or the picture. So, but you can cut between words or between letters.
Wait, hold on.
Okay.
If a cake has,
let's use a birthday cake as a good example, and the writing is not on something that you're taking off of it. The writing is on the cake itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't cut the letters or the picture for that matter, right? If it's like a distinct picture, if it's going to deform it.
Okay.
We're using deform instead of erase. It's really all the same concepts. You're breaking it. Okay. But what you can do is you can cut between the letters or between the words.
Huh.
Okay.
What about the flowers?
To cut the flowers. But I know you're talking about just like a flower, like the frosting is made into a flower. I'm talking, when I say like a distinct picture, I'm talking about more of like a princess picture. Like it's more of like a real picture. Like
drawn. What about a fish?
Exactly.
Like my brother, for my brother's birthday, Hannah made a cake because she's right. doing a whole decorating cake course, and she made it was a round cake with like a big fish.
So that would be the same thing as my princess example, meaning if it's like a distinct picture, then you can't just cut it. That would ruin it. You hear what I'm saying? Because that would be the same thing as.
It's a good thing I didn't learn it. Right?
No, it's hard.
The shape of something.
Give me half a second. We're gonna get to that, but you can. But let me just get to that. Okay. So if you want to cut between the letters or between the words, you can.
If it's not cursive.
Right. But when the letters, it's always cursive. But that like little line connection, and we're gonna get to that. That like you can cut between a line, because a line itself is not something significant. Meaning. Yes, cursive, that's what connects the lines, but if there's like a squiggle or a line, that's not considered a distinct picture.
Those letters are still distinct without it.
Correct. So even though if it's in cursive, as long as you're not cutting on the letter itself, if you're cutting on that little line in between, you can cut.
So when you have birthday, D-A-Y, and the A extends into the Y, you have to get it right there with the end of the
Right. So the easiest way to do it is that when you get a birthday cake, just have it put on. They either put it on a thin piece of plastic, which is not so noticeable, or even nicer, they could put it on a cookie for you, and then you just lift up the cookie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot easier if you think about
that
in advance.
Just cross it out with their finger beforehand, right? I've seen that where like they just
right where they just like wipe through it right
before Shabbos, before Shabbos.
Yeah. Right, but that's more that would be more problematic to do on Shabbos because that really is erasing.
No, I mean before Shabbos.
Oh, to wipe it through before. Yeah, so then that's
your mom makes it. And I don't know why, but writes it out all nice and then puts her finger.
And then puts her finger, yeah.
So you're like the letters all smeared.
Yeah.
Already.
So then that's
no issue.
There's no issue then, because right, that is no fun. Personally,
yeah.
I definitely agree with Vicky.
I think it's probably one
but
of
yeah.
Like, oh no, I forgot to do the cookie, or oh no,
right.
I forgot to ask the baker to whatever.
Right.
So it's like that.
To go straight through it.
Yeah.
No, then that wouldn't be. You're doing it that before Shabbos,
before
so
Shabbos.
Then. There's nothing significant about those letters anymore. So you can cut it. I'm saying you already destroyed it. So eat it. But because of the letters that are written on it.
Okay.
Correct. After Shabbos. Exactly. But interestingly, if you're able to cut between the letters and then you have your piece of cake with your A on it, you then can bite into it, and that's not considered erasing because you're just taking a bite of the cake. Even though in actuality, by biting it, you're then erasing that letter, it was already cut from the cake, and then you're going to be eating it. So then that is allowed. Okay? Now, answering Jackie's question, if, and this was number six that we just read, if the cake or the cookie is in the shape of a letter or in the shape of a picture, you can eat that. Okay? Because that is...
If it doesn't have the right...
Correct. I'm saying that it's actually in the shape. I don't know. What would be a good example?
Okay,
I keep going to Princess. Nahama's birthday is coming up. So. The cake is in the shape. Okay. Right. You can cut that up. Right.
Okay, suppose you have a cake in the shape of a fish, and then you decorated it with little fish. You'd have to cut around the little fish?
Right.
Okay.
If they are distinct...
Okay.
If they are distinct shapes... Then yes. Just keep it simple. Just keep it simple.
Give ice cream.
Yeah. And flowers too.
Okay, go for it.
So a flower cake with a flower, like a big flower design on top of the cake. So I started trying to cut in between the petals, but then I saw that it wasn't always so easy. Is that a problem?
Say that again.
Is a cake that's in the shape of a flower?
Okay, so the cake that's in the shape of the flower is not a problem to cut it.
But then there was icing on top of the cake to outline
it.
The picture of a flower.
So cutting it is what you're saying. So you were cutting in between, so then
cutting
that's not problematic.
But you can't cut like a full piece. But you're doing it that way.
There weren't letters, but she's saying it's distinctly decorated. So it's not just that the cake is in the shape, that's not the problem, but you were cutting in between, and then it just got messed up a little bit. So it's not like you did that on purpose.
No. There were certain places where there might have been a space between the...
Right, so then you could cut there.
But then afterwards, it didn't work for that
whole
cake.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right.
Right.
Well, I don't know. To decorate the cake, not to make it say any words.
Right, but what I was saying was that even if there's a distinct picture, like a meaningful picture, then that's problematic also. You can't just destroy a meaningful picture.
Can you shave off the top of the cake with, like, the good? Like, keep the good?
Yeah, you could slice off part of it.
How about when you make, like, a nose? You know they have that... The pan with Noah's Ark.
Right.
Make one of those cakes.
Yeah, because that's what I just was saying. If the cake is in the shape of it, then you can just... If the actual cake is in the shape of something, then you can cut it, bite into it, eat it, whatever it is that you want to do with it.
Cutting through one of the animals.
Yeah, because that's built... That's built in into the fiber of the cake.
It so that you see the animal...
So that's exactly what Dina's saying.
Okay, right.
So you would have to cut in between, as if you're cutting in between the letters.
Okay.
But that only works if you're able to cut in between.
If you're able
for
to
Dina's
cut
question.
In between the letters.
Right.
So then if I'm cutting different petals.
That's fine.
Then that should be the same.
Correct. But what you were saying was that then you got stumped.
Meaning that... Let's say you want to cut like the icing here, but
right.
Then...
But if there's, I understand what you're saying now. So then that would go along with what Heather was saying with the cursive. If
right.
There's just a line, you can cut that line. Did I now understand what you're saying? You can cut a straight line. You can cut a squiggly line because that's considered like meaningless. Even though it would connect one paddle to the other paddle, if it's just a straight line, then you can cut it. Or, I think Heather just said it, you can also just take off. I know it makes it not as pretty, but in theory, if like you have to eat that cake or the little kids want it, you could, once you get stumped, I wouldn't say do it to the whole cake because then you're really ruining such a pretty cake, but you could just slice off the frosting with a little bit of the cake. I don't know, am I being clear? I'm answering you. Okay, good. I know you don't like the answer.
But like based on your picture, I think what she's saying is like, you could cut right
in
here.
In between.
Right.
Right.
Right here. There's no issue. You're fine.
There's
right.
Because
it's just a line connecting it.
You kept the leaf, kept the flower.
And you want everyone to have a petal.
Right. This is what it looks like. So this is also part of the picture. So I don't know. I tried to cut just like a petal off.
Right, I understand what you're saying, but that's fine. Yeah, no, you're good.
Okay.
That's a pretty cake there. Okay, you are, so now just going back with writing / erasing. If you stick, like, stickers that are on food or wrappers that are on food, obviously you have to be careful. You're not going to be cutting in between the words. Remove it versus just, like, slicing over it, or when you're opening something up, you want to be careful as to not destroy the words. Okay? Obviously...
It's so hard with certain
things. It is hard with certain things. So, you know, it's like when you're opening up an equal, you know, when you're opening up, like, I guess I'm just going to use my example of because Equal or Splenda, when you're having your coffee in the morning, you can open it. You just have to be more aware of it. You can open it without ripping it through the letters like you normally would do when you just need that coffee really fast in the morning. But you can open it without doing the letters.
That's like a course in and of itself. Like, where to open the sweet and low without ripping it? Where to open the lettuce without, like, everyone's all
right.
Figured it out. It's like a big discussion I've heard.
Well, no, it just means that you just have to be more aware of it.
Can you
You can do it.
Can you open up, let's say, a lettuce bag and then destroy it? Because the whole idea is it so there is no use out of it afterwards.
So we spoke about that last week. So, yeah, meaning there is no use out of it. Nobody's reusing a lettuce bag. It doesn't become a cli.
So you still have to be careful, though, then, with the letters?
Yeah, because you don't want to destroy it. You don't want to be considered erasing it. But if you just open it from the top, nothing is ripped. Nothing is... You're not... There's no letter
right.
there.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think what we discussed is because we're pulling it apart.
Right.
Like, if you get nail on Chavez, you're not going to open it if you have to undo the, you know, something. But with this, because it was food, you can undo it and you're not going to use it again.
Right. You're not reusing
it. You
exactly. It's not a clean.
Correct.
Which is what I just said to Shoshi. 100%. You still want to be careful about it.
But you're throwing it out.
But you're throwing it. 100%, but you don't want it to be considered that you're erasing the words.
Can you use scissors to cut it?
That's fine, right? I would prefer to use a knife or scissors just because scissors...
Like a specialized...
Correct. You know, that would be my recommendation, to just use a knife versus scissors just because scissors is like...
Metal
that cutting. Right. It's that muksa object versus, well, if you just take a knife out of your jaw, it's what you're normally using for food anyway. You know? So that's wrappers and stickers. Cleaning, I don't know if people necessarily do this nowadays, but just like a little bit of a side note, if you ever clean up a spill, I don't know if somebody would use newspaper versus a paper towel. So if you're going to be using a paper that has writing on it, or I guess they do make paper towels that have writing on it, right? So if... Yeah, but a paper towel is really not a good example. A newspaper is a better example, or a piece of paper, because if it gets wet, the letters then are going to be smeared and they're getting erased. So use a paper towel or a napkin versus using a newspaper, but I don't think people really use newspapers to clean up spills now. So that's just a side note. And then either you could use it as a classic example would be a bencher, just because they're on the table and if spills get spilled or, you know, not if spills get spilled. If something spills and a bencher gets wet and the pages stick together, opening up those stuck together pages, it could happen in a book also, that would be problematic if you are then going to be destroying, right? If you're destroying it or, which in essence is erasing the words by pulling apart the pages, then that would be considered erasing also. So obviously pull the pages apart after Shabbos. Or if it's going to destroy the venture, then just don't pull the pages apart, period, you know?
When you start, like, a new book...
Right.
Sometimes in new books, you have the pages that still stick together or, you know, on the side.
Right.
And you have to kind of rip it.
Yeah, but you're not destroying the words when you're opening up the book.
No.
So I'm specifically talking about...
It's permanent after that. It's not a problem.
It's permanently.
I'm not understanding
sometimes
what you're saying.
Two pages, when it's still new, two pages are stuck together right here at the seam.
Right.
And you have to...
Oh, so it says if you're like pulling a perforated thing apart, so then if that would be considered permanent, even if you're not destroying the words, then that would be considered...
So you technically could not do
so
that,
make sure that your book is open before Shabbos.
Right.
Like, don't start something that you can't... I don't think I've ever seen that, though.
I look at magazines sometimes.
Every once in a while I get it. Yeah.
Right. So if it's something that you're actually, it says if you're really separating it permanently. Mm-hmm. So then, yeah, even if you're not destroying the words. I was specifically talking about when something liquid touches, you know, whether it's a magazine, a book, a venture, and then the pages stick together, and then when you open it, the words schmear, then that would be considered erasing.
So like wipes and Clorox wipes and things like that, like not using perforated ones that have to be ripped apart.
Right, they'd have to be ripped apart versus perforated.
Right.
Right, or garbage bags. I don't know. What?
Tea bags. I get these tea bags.
Oh, and they're connected with each other. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. So you have to just have it separated before Shabbos. Anything that has that perforation, where then you have to pull it apart permanently, would then be problematic. So yeah. But I think you could definitely get a lot of things that don't have that. So it's not like you have to think about what you're doing before Shabbos. Just use the tea bags that are individual. So, yeah. So, now you know how to cut your fruit on Shabbos and how to eat your birthday cake or your very fancy designed cakes. Okay. But that just brings down to the practicality of Kosev and Mochik. Okay. So, that concludes for this session. All right.